Linda Brown, whose name will forever be linked to the landmark desegregation case Brown versus Board of Education, has died. As a young girl, Brown's father objected when she was barred from attending an all-white school in her neighborhood in Topeka, Kansas. That would lead to the landmark Supreme Court decision that desegregated, that segregated schools were inherently unequal. Joining us now to help us remember her legacy is Dr. Tiffany Anderson. She's superintendent of Topeka Public Schools. And Dr. Anderson, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Also from Bloomington, Indiana, we're joined by Kevin Brown. He's professor at the Maurer School of Law at Indiana University. Professor Brown, thank you for joining us as well.
Oh, thank you too, Anthony.
So, Professor Brown, I'm going to start with you. How do we remember Linda Brown?
Well, I think you've got to remember her as a great pioneer. Brown versus Board of Education, while it might not have been in the long term as effective as we wanted to be in school desegregation, was a transformative case for American society.
In what way?
Well, it really was the one that opened up our society to desegregation. So it's not just at the elementary and secondary level, but it's also at the collegiate level. It helped to lead towards more integration in jobs and occupations, in the political process. You know, for all practical purposes, this is the moment that the civil rights era really, truly began.
Mm. And Tiffany Anderson, Dr. Tiffany Anderson, you're the superintendent of Topeka Public Schools. Linda Brown's mission, if you will, started right there in Topeka. What are you thinking about today as you recall Linda Brown?
You know, it's an amazing legacy. Even myself, I'm the first African-American female superintendent in Topeka, and I started a year ago, and I stand on the shoulders of Linda Brown, the Brown family, and many others also stand on their shoulders. And so today is a time in which we, as a district, are remembering not only Linda Brown, but the Brown family, and really what this legacy means for us. We took a moment of silence at 9 a.m., in remembrance of, you know, a 9-year-old student who courageously helped transform education across the nation. So it's an important time. Also, the fact that it's, you know, the month in which we highlight women's history this month. Her birth date was during the month in which we highlight Black history in February. I mean, it is, there's so many significant moments right now for us as a community.
Dr. Anderson, I'm wondering if you can take us back. I mean, and Dr. Brown, the same to you. I mean, to imagine what this young girl faced when her father took her by the hand and essentially walked her to an all-white school in her neighborhood and obviously knew that she wasn't going to be allowed to enroll. Can you just, you know, try to sort of imagine what that must have been like for this little girl? I'll start with you, Tiffany Anderson.
Well, you know, it's hard for, I think, any of us who did not live or walk in her shoes to really imagine what it is like to walk in the shoes of someone at that time that that faced many challenges. I can tell you at this time, at this moment in history, as we have continued to look at schools across the nation that where youth are voicing their opinions about inequities in school, that for me really brings it home to what this work is about, that Linda Brown started truly as a pioneer, as was already said, a movement that we must continue.
Mm.
And I think that's important. Even the thought that she was 9 years old, and we're looking right now at youth advocating for things they believe in. And so I think social justice and equity issues certainly are before us now, and her legacy should give us the courage and the passion to fight and advocate in ways that we have to do if we're going to continue to transform systems long term.
Kevin Brown, can you bring us back to that time and just remind us of sort of what was at stake in this legal case?
Well, so you have to go back to 1954, and this is the time when people of African descent were called Negro or colored out of respect, or coon, darky, and even black as an insult. Mm. Discrimination based on race and employment, merchandising, stores, eating establishments, places of entertainment, hotels and motels was an accepted fact of life. Black people didn't occupy positions above most menial levels in American business and corporations, and indeed even lower level management positions were unobtainable. It was a time where you only had a handful of blacks who were attending prestigious colleges and universities. No man of color had been elected mayor of a major U.S. city in the 20th century, and only four were serving in Congress. None of them had been elected from the 11 states that made up the Confederacy since 1900. So we really are talking about a moment in time that then just reverberates with ripples all the way to today.
Wow. Tiffany Anderson, I'm reading a very thoughtful piece in the New York Times, remembering Linda Brown, and I just want to read this graph to you and ask you where we are today. Her family was among several that reopened the original Brown case in 1979 to argue that the job of integration in Topeka remained incomplete. The case resulted in the opening of several magnet schools. So where are we in Topeka, in particular, today in terms of this issue?
Well, you know, I started with the fact that here we are now in 2018, and I am the first African-American female superintendent in Topeka. So we continue to say that we have a road ahead. However, Topeka is a diverse, innovative a place today because of those steps that were taken by Linda Brown's family and many others. So we have a third African-American, a third white, a third Hispanic in our schools, and so we are very mixed in that regard. Our graduation rate in Topeka, unlike other large urban areas, has a gap, but not a significant gap. In our case, you know, our students that are African-American compared to the graduation rates of our white students are within about 6% of each other. And so, you know, if you're at a school and the graduation rate is 92%, then our African-American students, in fact, at the school that I'm talking about has 100% African-American graduation rate for African-American males. At other schools, if your graduation rate is at, you know, 78 or percent, then you're going to have potentially our African-American and white population fairly close. That is not seen across the nation. So Topeka really is on the move in some very powerful ways because of the leaders that have come before us.
Hmm. And Kevin Brown, sorry to cut you off there, Tiffany Anderson.
Go ahead.
Kevin Brown, in the literally 15 seconds that remain, final thoughts on the road ahead and the work that remains to be done as we remember the passing of Linda Brown.
There's certainly a lot of work ahead to be done. There's no question about that. But I do think that American society has a right to congratulate itself for the tremendous progress that we have made since 1954.
And that's a good thing to do on this day as we remember the passing of Linda Brown, symbol of the landmark desegregation case, Brown versus Board of Education. Kevin Brown, professor at Maurer School of Law, Indiana University, thank you so much for joining us. We're very grateful.
Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Tiffany Anderson, superintendent of public schools in Topeka, Kansas. Dr. Anderson, thank you as well.
Thank you for having me.